Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the death of Rudolph Valentino. Of course, Rudolph Valentino was America's first really movie star, and he died at a very young age, and we're going to talk about his life. He was a lover, much like Charles and I.
He was a prolific lover, Timmy, and it's not easy, as you can attest to, Timmy.
Well, you know, your reputation precedes you, and then people have high expectations, Colonel.
Exactly. The bar is way, way up there. It's not.
Well, you can't hit a home run every time you step to the plate, but
fuck's sake.
That's what women expect.
Yeah, sometimes you get 3-4 triples, and they're just happy with that. And it's not easy. I mean, you don't know what it's like, Devil. I mean, most people,
you don't have expectations.
Exactly. All you got to do is birth a baby now and again, and people think you've done something. But Timmy and I, Timmy carries the mantle of the Mickey Mantle of Cunnilingus.
Yes.
That's not an easy reputation.
Yes. And Rudolph Valentino had a similar reputation, Brandy, as you probably know.
Of course.
Because you're old.
Oh, we're doing this today. Okay.
Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language, and if adult language offends you, then...
Then you can just go fuck yourself and get right out of here, Timmy.
You really got the wrong podcast if that offends you, Brandy.
You can go find the soothing voices of Ben Fitton.
Yes.
On They Walk Among Us or Nina instead over at.
Have already gone.
Already gone.
And Don't Talk to Strangers.
Don't Talk to Strangers.
Nina is moving to Atlanta.
She's going to be cussing by the time she gets down there on her podcast. There's going to be all kinds of cussing after she gets to Atlanta.
Does it bother you that she's moving to Atlanta? I mean, I have in my mind where she should be, and it's in Michigan.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though she's like almost the same distance, really, almost, I feel like she's farther away in Atlanta.
Well,
so
she'll start
like
doing
it.
Atlanta true crime.
No, she's sticking to
Michigan.
She's staying
to Michigan true crime because that's what she knows and loves. But it's just not natural, Timmy. It's not natural for
it
her
is
to be
not.
In Atlanta.
So, Nina, we do not approve of your move to Atlanta.
No, we're still against it.
I'm sure she's considering
that. So if you're listening, please go to the Already Gone Facebook group and condemn Nina's move to Atlanta and tell her that you heard it here. We've encouraged you to do that.
Rebuke her sharply.
Jesus.
We saw Nina. Brandy and I saw Nina in Chicago at the True Crime Festival.
We did.
Podcast Festival.
We did.
But, Colonel, I was a little concerned with Brandy because, you know, it was as we had our meeting before the conference, and I think, was I clear, Colonel, that this was a working conference, that this was a business trip, not to get drunk,
if this is a business trip, then I feel like the business should have paid for it.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying.
Crazy.
Huh?
But, Colonel, did we not talk about professionalism?
Codes of behavior.
Yes.
Yeah, she ignored them all.
I had a great time. The minute
I saw her for a short period of time, and she was, I would say she was sober, or at least, you know.
I was not.
Coherent. Coherent.
I saw topless photos of her.
I was still disappointed, Brandy. You were supposed to be up there representing us. You're supposed to be engaging with our listeners, and I saw you sitting in a lounge getting drunk. That's the only thing I saw at the whole festival.
I engaged with many people. Hmm. I had a great time. But, you know, it was fun. Got to hang out with Christy Lee, and I saw Nina, and we had a really good time. I went with my girlfriend,
Michelle
Stephanie.
Johns.
Oh, my gosh. Michelle Johns ran around with her and her sister. So, you know, we had a – went with my girlfriend, Stephanie. We had a wonderful – it was a good trip for us.
Well, it's
– yeah, trip. Just to
– it's a little bit blurry.
Yeah, it was on vacation. It was a business trip, but that's okay, Brandy. Use our meager earnings
to continue on with your alcoholic problem. But anyway,
be bothered to show up. So
I had a previous engagement.
Well, see, now you're deflecting. That's the problem. You're deflecting.
Yes.
Okay.
Take responsibility for your own behavior. Don't worry about mine. That's your problem in life, Devil. Is you want to deflect all the time. We're trying to make you a better person here, and you just ignore us, and you just. What about him? What about this person? What about that person? What about that? What about you, Devil? That's what we're trying. Help us help you. And I saw on Instagram, Devil, it was a little bit blurry, but it appeared to be you topless cannonballing into the hotel pool.
Well, first of all.
Your comments on that, Brandy?
No. No. But I did get to meet Jessica's husband, Luke. Jessica Ann.
Yes,
her husband.
Yes,
Luke.
Jessica Ann was there.
Yeah, he's a cool
from
guy.
Australia.
He really is.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy.
They're a sweet couple.
Oh, they really are.
And they're coming to DweebCon again. Of course, they was there last year. But
yeah, I met them.
This year with Michelle. And
I saw Charlie. I saw all kinds of people. It was really fun, and I remember meeting them, which is clutch.
Just too bad you cannot, you know, promote our podcast while you're there. But
hey, I promoted our podcast all over the place.
Hmm.
It's too bad we didn't have stickers.
We have stickers, goddammit.
Well, I didn't have them.
I'll bring them to DweebCon. DweebCon, October 4th. Of course, Brandy, I know you're looking forward to that. An excuse to drink some more.
Always. Is it October 4th?
That's
fine.
The weekend of October 4th.
I will be there.
October 4th and 5th. And here in Cincinnati. So if you haven't made your plans to attend that, you want to because it's a lot of fun. And Michelle Johns, of course, will be there. Jessica Ann and Nina.
I liked staying at the Millennium last year. I think we should do that again. It had a nice bar. It was good people watching.
Yeah. Okay, so you're endorsing the Millennium.
I am. Okay. I think that's where I'm going to stay.
Have you noticed she doesn't talk about location, price, or anything? It had a nice bar, Timmy.
The bar had food. They had a good breakfast bar. I mean, it was a good place to stay.
They had alcohol.
They did. All of those things that I require when I am on vacation.
I guess I should introduce you guys.
That'd be great.
Let me introduce the lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. So we already know what you've been up to, Brandy. Anything else you would like to add, if any?
I'm still kind of recovering from it. I'm still, and I even took Monday off because I thought, I am still recovering. I'm just tired.
Well, that's what happens when you go on a four-day drunk.
Yeah. Well,
4-day bender.
Otis. I just can't do that shit anymore. Just can't do it.
I think you have more problems with 4 days of sobriety. That's probably your bigger challenge.
Well, I work with you sons of bitches, so yeah, I probably do.
Have you ever got up to a 4-day chip, Devil?
I don't think they give those out.
Yeah, you can get a 4-day chip, 5-day chip.
4-day chip. Nice.
I myself have been, I'm going to the next Alcoholics Anonymous meeting because I have been stone cold sober for over 30 years, 25 years. Timmy ain't nary got a chip for it. So I'm going to the next meeting just to say, I'm Chuck Walters. I'm not an alcoholic because I don't, haven't drank.
See, you're penalized. Right. You're penalized because you're not an alcoholic. That doesn't seem fair, Brandy.
You should absolutely go and demand your chip. But I'm confused. Did we introduce Chuck yet? Or is he
no,
just,
let me do that.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
He's known as, you know, when I was at the podcast festival, a lot of people came up to me and said, how is that most dangerous man in podcasting doing?
They did not at all.
And they said, please let him know that when I'm down, when life is just, you know, just bleak.
Nobody
and,
said
and
this.
The future is so bleak and sad that he is an oasis. In my desert of despair.
He's not.
And so I'd like to introduce him, Brandy, a man who's known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman, Brandy.
No. I don't know what to do with
that.
How
are you, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Of course he's not. Fuck.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, I got a number of things going on. My first grievance is when I stop drinking, I just chain myself to a bed for a week, Timmy. That's how
is
I stopped.
Is that how you?
I didn't get together with a bunch of people and talk about my problems. I just chain myself to a bed for a week, sweat it out. I ain't got nary a chip for it. But I'll address that grievance because I'm going to the next meeting. Now, I have another animal in my house, Timmy.
You're such a shit.
Yes.
With sharp
he
little
has
teeth.
Bo.
Yes.
We're talking about Bo.
Beauregard.
Of course.
Beauregard. Yes. Little Beauregard. And I had very little say in whether I had this animal in my house. He just showed up one day. And they have those sharp little teeth. And my ears are always bleeding, Timmy. Because he likes to bite my ears.
What kind of puppy is he, Colonel?
He is a miniature pincher. And he's four breeds, miniature pincher, chihuahua, shih tzu, and Boston Terrier.
He's all those little dogs.
He's psychotic to me. He's psychotic.
How does Rudy like having a baby brother?
Rudy likes to chase him around the house and then stop and then let the little dog chase Rudy around the house. It's a pretty goddamn comical thing to see. To see this little, he's not even 2 pounds yet, chasing this 65-pound dog around the house. But it's, and it creates a lot of chaos, Timmy. Rudy was a pretty chill dog before I got this little psycho in my house. And now this dog's psychoness is bleeding onto Rudy. And Rudy's becoming a psycho.
I saw that he was learning to walk up the steps on your deck.
I had to build him a little handicap ramp, Timmy. He couldn't get up on the deck. So, yeah, but...
I'm sure he'll be getting up there pretty soon.
Well, now he just doesn't go down. When he wants to go off the deck, he runs up to the edge of the deck, stops, and then leaps off like Superman. He's got all four paws out in the air. It's only about a 10-inch drop. But still, when he lands, he rolls about 3 or 4 times into the yard. And he is
really cute.
He's getting ready to do some crazy things, so I think he's a bad influence.
Ah, I see.
Perfect.
Brandy, I understand we have a guest today.
We sure could have a guest today. And okay. if you want to do it, we can do it. Let me make sure that he is prepared.
Tell him it's a question and answer session.
Yes, we have a very special guest. Today, we're going to kind of find out what goes on in the Brandy Herman household, Colonel. You know, that's something that, you know, some questions are best left unanswered, I guess. But
oh, no.
All right. He can hear you.
Hi, Noah.
Hi.
Noah.
How are you?
We have some questions for you. Would you mind answering questions? What's your favorite beer, Noah?
What?
What kind of beer do you like to drink?
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
My baby doesn't do that.
When your mommy's at home, when I work with your mommy and she yells a lot and cusses a lot. Does she do that at home?
Uh-huh.
That's what I figured. Do you correct her? Do you say, "Mommy, you shouldn't talk like that"? Bang. That's good, boy, Noah. That's good. Now, what is your favorite? Do you like the Avengers, Noah?
Not really.
Not really? What's your favorite movie?
Probably the Infinity War.
That's the Avengers movie.
I know. I like Infinity War, though.
Okay. I liked Infinity War. So you're not a fan of the series, but you do like that movie. Mm-hmm. And if you had to pick one superhero who could beat up all the other superheroes, Noah, what superhero do you think that would be?
Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool? You think Deadpool could take Batman? Because
I can't hear you.
I think Batman would use his bat belt on Deadpool. Because he's got everything in there. He's got a load of nuclear weapons, everything.
Deadpool is invincible.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But what about Hawk? What about the Hawk? You like the Hawk?
The Hulk? The Hawk.
Mm-hmm. The Hawk, whatever.
The Hulk.
You're like your mom, you know that?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing today, Noah? What's your plans for the day?
Playing
video games.
What else are we going to do?
Go to my grandma's.
You're going to your grandma's?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite video game?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, that sounds like a scary one, Noah. That might scare me, son.
It's fun.
Getting hacked up.
Now, when you see your grandmother, when you see grandma, I want you to say the following words to her, okay? Listen.
Okay.
Say, "Grandma, I'm worried about Mama's drinking," okay?
She's so silly.
That's. What? Say, "Grandma, I'm worried about my Mama's drinking," okay? She'll know what it means.
Okay.
Okay. Here's another tip for you, Noah. Do you ever go to the grocery store with your mama?
No.
Never?
Nope.
Okay, well, the next time you're out in somewhere public with your mom, just kind of crouch down a little bit, put your hand, like, over your head, and say, "Don't hit me, Mama." Just say that. Everybody around you will laugh. They'll think it's very funny. Just put your hand, like, cover your head with your hand and say, "Don't hit me anymore, Mama. I'm sorry." Everybody will think that's very funny.
They're just laugh and laugh.
They're lying.
Okay.
Well, Noah, thank you for being on our show.
Well, wait a minute.
Does Mommy let you listen to does Mommy let you listen to the podcast?
No.
No, that's good. That's a good thing, though.
Tell
it really
your YouTube,
is.
Your YouTube channel.
I don't have it anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
I have a YouTube channel. It just doesn't matter right now.
Could you create a YouTube channel for us, Noah? Because the Colonel here, he seems that he doesn't know how to do that. Can you teach him how to do that?
Yeah, but I have it on my phone. I don't have my phone right now.
Oh.
He can do it from his phone, Chuck.
Have you had your phone taken away from you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you grounded, Noah? Did your mom take your phone from you?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
She took it away.
Or she just...
What did you do?
I spent $100 on her credit card.
Oh, you found money on her credit card.
What did you buy, Noah? What did you buy with that $100?
Stuff that I really want.
Okay, well, that's fair.
No.
She shouldn't punish you for that.
Stuff that you really need, Noah, not that you just want, that you needed. Right? So
what you're saying, Noah, is that she's not giving you things that you really need.
She's not providing your basic necessities. That's not very fair. You might want to talk to your grandma about that, too.
Yes, or your social worker.
Or your social worker.
They're being... ridiculous.
We love you, Noah, and we're really happy that you came on our podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Talking to the mics.
Okay.
No, you're done.
No.
All right. Say goodbye.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
He's so cute.
There. Now you've tried to corrupt my
awesome.
Baby.
Not corrupt. Sounds like you're. What did he buy on? What did he buy on your credit card?
A bunch of stuff for his Friday the 13th game, and a bunch of stuff for some other games, and yeah. Now, fortunately, I sent a message, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna need to take those off of my card. Bought an album. He bought an album that we have. Like, I don't.
You
whatever.
Can never have too many.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can.
It's just not the same if it's not on vinyl.
Right. No. I mean, he bought it. It was a download, but you know, okay. We didn't need to because we have Amazon Music. We can listen to the whole thing anytime we want for free.
It's not the same as owning it.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Okay.
Can we talk about Rudolph?
Well,
Valentino?
Just a quick question, right, Devil. Rudolph, just a quick question. Yes. How much was your bar tab up in Chicago?
I don't know.
Did it get into the triple digits?
No. Okay. Not per night.
Yet,
although it really easily could have, because those were ridiculously expensive drinks.
Yet you're punishing this young man for spending $100. It
just seems
arbitrary. And
well, wait a minute. So that's not the thing. Not only did he do that, but he changed my Google password. He changed it, so then like I couldn't get the map up on my car to drive home.
Wow.
Yeah. So fortunately, I had somebody with me that had a phone, and I could get home. But yeah, that was great. Mm. Great times.
Well,
that's unfortunate, Devil.
Yeah, it is.
Well, try to dry out before DweebCon because, you know, we don't need you out falling down drunk the whole time during DweebCon. You embarrass Clark. You embarrass Clark when you do that trophy.
Yes.
He gets really embarrassed for you.
And I embarrass too.
He won't say anything, but we know that Clark is really embarrassed for you and just try to stay sober.
Clark's embarrassed for me?
Yeah, because you're falling down drunk.
And, God love him. Yeah.
It's not a good look for you, Devil.
You know, falling down drunk is my M.O.
Hello.
Yeah. So
let's talk about Rudolph Valentino.
Yes, after 20 minutes.
He was America's first movie star, Brandy. He arrived in the United States as an immigrant in 1913. And the handsome Valentino caught the eye of older, wealthy women. Colonel, of course, you've been involved in relationships such as those.
Occasionally, Timmy. I don't like to kiss and tell, but yeah.
The women would pay his rent and bought him expensive gifts, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like he did well.
A dancing career quickly led to roles in silent movies.
What kind of dancing?
He was like a taxi dancer, I think. You know, he danced with women for money. And
he was a tiny... He was a tiny dancer.
Is he tiny
too,
dancer?
Jimmy. Yeah.
He's a tiny. No, he was. What was that song by Tina Turner?
Private Dancer.
Dancer for Money.
Private Dancer.
He was a private.
He was
dancer.
A private dancer. Yeah.
Yes.
Within a few years of arriving in the United States, he established himself as a superstar of the stage and screen. Brandy.
Superstar.
And when he died suddenly at the age of 31, so he died quite young, millions of his female fans mourned his death.
Oh, can I interrupt you here, Timmy? Something just popped up on iTunes here.
Just women. I got a question for Brandy first. When someone like that dies, Brandy, is it okay to continue? Do you continue to fantasize about him even though he's dead?
Oh, yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
I'm sure you do. Yes.
So it's okay to rub one out to a dead person is what you're saying?
It's all right to ring the devil's doorbell. Ring the devil's doorbell even though you know they're not going to answer the door.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this
nobody's home.
This just popped up on iTunes to me, and I know you. We care about our listeners, and we care about the feedback that they give us. So I just want to tell you this one.
Is this a review?
It is a review. It is a review. Okay. It says, "I would love to give this 5 stars. The research is incredible. The writing compares favorably to Keats." So I think they're talking about you, Timmy.
I think so.
Timmy seems like such a sweet man. And the Colonel is not only hysterically funny, but he seems like a kind and giving man. I had to take away 1 star for the lady who sounds like, what's her name? Marge Simpson's sister eating broken glass.
Well, okay. That doesn't seem like it was. I mean, it seems like a very good review.
It does.
Very accurate. But, you know, I think they were a little harsh on Brandy.
Yeah, it was a little harsh. A little harsh on her. It says, you know, Marge Simpson's sister eating broken glass. That's, I don't know.
That's the exact quote you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they could have been a little clearer on that. But, Interesting.
Well, keep looking at those reviews, Colonel. If you see anything that stands out, then let us know.
Because it's important to us to take our listeners' feedback and...
Oh, yes. That's important, Brandy. You have to
admit
that.
And adjust the show accordingly.
You know what I love is people bitch because we take too long to get to the story, and we've been through a paragraph, and we're 25 minutes into this, son of a bitch. And most of it's from the two of you yammering. So how about... If we're taking it seriously, we get to his early life. Timmy, can you tell me about his early life?
I'm glad you asked, Brandy.
Well, thank you.
Rudolph Valentino grew up in Castellaneta, I think I said it right, Italy, as the son of an army officer and a veterinarian. I wonder if his dad was an army officer and his mother was a veterinarian, or his dad was an army officer and a veterinarian, or his mom was an army officer.
You wrote it.
I know. He attended military school, Colonel, much like yourself.
Much like myself, yes.
But he was rejected from the service because he was not manly enough, Brandy.
Much like yourself, Colonel.
No. That seems like it could come up with some other reason. You know what I mean? You know, they could have said, you know, you're too short or... got bad grades, but not manly enough. That seems like, you know, a low blow to me. But as a child, Rudolph was indulged because of his exceptionally good looks. Colonel, you were indulged, I'm sure.
I was indulged a little bit. It made life easier for me, I suppose.
And he had a playful personality. His mother coddled him while his father disapproved of him. His mother would put him in dresses and other feminine-looking clothing.
Well, we're lucky he didn't turn out to be a serial killer.
She would tie fancy ribbons in his hair, Brandy, and encourage him to play with dolls.
This is how a lot of them start out. Go ahead. Ed Gein.
This caused an emotional rift between Rudolph and his father. His mother would also tell him of her visions in which she saw him becoming a great man. Valentino would later claim that he also developed visions of the future. Much like yourself, Brandy, you've been known to dabble in the dark arts.
Well, so I'm confused because I'm confused whatever's going on the other side of one of your microphones. But I'm also confused because his mother dressed him up in, you know, dresses and bows. But it caused a rift between him and his father. So,
well, I think, you know, his dad thought he was being, you know, he was being...
His mother was dressing him
up. Right.
He's a child.
Yeah, but you know how that is. His dad wasn't close to him because his mother was treating him like he was a daughter instead of a son.
And a doll.
Yeah. He was never... Rudolph was never close to his... father, preferring the company of his mother and sister. He was very close to his sister. Rudolph's father died of malaria when he was 11 years old, so he's out of the picture anyway. So, you know, malaria. Yeah.
Malaria.
You know, that's what happened.
That'll get you.
Malaria. Yeah. The family struggled in poverty after his father died. More tragedies were in store for Rudolph when his youngest sister died at the age of 10. He would later claim that he never truly got over her death. He was very close to his younger sister. In 1912, Rudolph Valentino went to Paris, but he failed to find work there. He ended up begging on the streets until he made his way to New York City as a stowaway the following year. You ever been a stowaway, Brandy?
Yes. Not recently. What the fuck?
How's those reviews coming, Colonel?
Well, it's here's another one. Hooked from day one. Chuck and Tim just make this a hint. I'm sorry. The interesting subjects, the banter. I wish I lived closer to them so I could meet them. This show could use a little less brandy.
Hmm.
Yeah, she interrupts.
Seems long.
She is crude. She is vulgar. And she is mean to a man who seems to be incredibly kind. I don't understand it. It must be. This is the listener saying this. I'm not a psychologist, but it seems like there is some type of envy there.
Well, Brandy, I think that listener was a little hard on you, Brandy. But they make some good points, though, Colonel.
They do make some good points, yeah. But I just wish people wouldn't pick on Brandy like this. It just seems like an overriding theme.
So Rudolph was processed at Ellis Island at the age of 18 on December 23rd, 1913. That's 2 days before Christmas, Brandy, of that year.
It is.
Although he would go on to find unparalleled fame and success in America, Rudolph never filed the necessary papers for naturalization, and so he retained his Italian citizenship. That's a little bit of trivia, Colonel, that we like to throw out here that you don't get on other podcasts.
No. That's not something.
You think Nina would put that unnecessary information in her podcast?
Absolutely
like that,
not. But she likes to be, you know, so many of these podcasts, other podcasts are concise, Timmy.
Yes.
And
yeah,
not
they're,
us.
They're very
just
focused.
Loosey-goosey.
We like to
they're focused.
Say, we're like the grocery store. If you buy this, you get this for free.
Yes.
So
this, yeah, that, we always think
that was a fact you got for free there. That was a bonus fact.
Just throwing it in, Colonel. Just throwing it
That's
in.
That's right.
So, at first, his life in the New World was no better than it had been in Europe. Remember, he was begging on the streets in Paris, Brandy.
I do remember from 2 seconds ago.
Rudolph supported himself with odd jobs, such as busing tables in restaurants and gardening. Rudolph once worked as a busboy at the famous Murray's Restaurant on 42nd Street, 42nd and Times Square, as well, he was well-liked, but didn't do a good job and was soon... All right, so he worked at Murray's. He was well-liked, but he didn't do a good job and was fired. He was well-liked by the kitchen staff, though, and so he would come back to Murray's for lunch, and the staff would slip him some food. So that's pretty decent of them, Brandy.
Yes.
Did you ever steal food when you worked at restaurants, Brandy?
Yeah. Duh.
Okay. Rudolph lived in the streets of New York and in Central Park for a while until he picked up work as a taxi dancer at Maxim's Restaurant Cabaret, Brandy. I know you've worked at a cabaret or two in your time. He became a star as a tango pirate, Brandy, and spending time on the dance floor with wealthy women who were willing to pay for the company of exotic young men. Colonel, of course, we know these type of women.
We do know those, Timmy. I've made probably $10, $15 over my lifetime from these women. And here's another one that just popped up, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
It says, not your average history podcast, Timmy. It says, this show, it's a shame, this show could be like the perfect ice cream sundae. Timmy is the ice cream. The Colonel is the hot fudge. If only Brandy could be whipped cream instead of motor oil. Nothing ruins a sundae like motor oil. Now, I don't know where they got
well, that's
that
mean, Brandy.
That just does
that's
seem
mean,
mean
to
yeah.
Hmm.
Amazing.
We like constructive criticism. But
yeah, if they would tell Brandy, I'll look for something that are more constructive.
Thank you, Colonel. Now, Rudolph Valentino quickly befriended a Chilean heiress, Brandy. Have you ever met a Chilean heiress before, Brandy?
I have not.
And her name was Blanca de Salos, or something like that.
Okay.
Which might have seemed like a good idea, but she was unhappily married, Brandy, to a well-connected businessman named John de Salos. the heiress, okay, so she's unhappy with her marriage. She's the heiress is coming to this place to get a, you know, to dance with young, exotic young men like Rudolph. She becomes, you know, attached to him. And she sets him up with an apartment in New York's Lower East Side. So she's putting him up, Brandy, setting up a little love nest with young Rudolph. Your thoughts on that, Brandy, if any?
No thoughts. Let her do what she wants to do. She's an old lady.
She's getting her freak on, Brandy.
Hey, more power to her.
She bought him clothes, jewelry, and paid for him to take acting classes, Brandy. No one knows for sure if Rudolph and Eris enjoyed a physical relationship, but there were allegations that she spent many hours at Rudolph's Manhattan apartment, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, if any?
I have none, and still good for her.
Now, when, he did silent movies, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, how much acting do you really need to do other than that, like...
Well, you know, you got to move your eyelids and stuff, and...
Yeah,
you know, you have to have an expression of surprise.
Wouldn't mime
you
classes
be a silent
be
movie actor? You could not be a silent movie actor if somebody actually paid you $1 million to be in silent films.
Let's see. Here's another one, Timmy.
Oh, good.
It's quite humorous podcast, although them constantly telling Brandy that she needs therapy cuts a little too close to a nerve because it's actually true. She needs to address her anger issues and the show will be more positive. 4 stars.
Oh, Brandy, he's getting us a lot of feedback, Brandy,
yeah.
with his reviews.
It's wonderful. We could almost have the perfect podcast after this, Timmy. I'm seeing a trend here, Timmy. Are you seeing a trend?
Are you? Well, Brandy, it is a trend.
Ah, yes. Trend. Sure.
All right. So when Blanca and her husband divorced in 1915, Rudolph Valentino testified that he had evidence that John, the husband, had been having multiple affairs, including one with his dance partner at the taxi, you know, at the taxi dance place. But his refined European and youthful appearance at the trial had some reporters questioning his masculinity and sexuality in print. And this was something that would go on throughout his career as an actor. They were always questioning his sexuality and his masculinity. And
that's a shame.
He was an effeminate looking guy, though, Timmy. He was very pretty. Valentino was a pretty
boy, Brandy. Of course, you've been known to associate with pretty boys.
Not like us, Timmy. He didn't have that rugged, good look side.
He don't have the rugged, handsome look like the Colonel myself. Right. He was more of your, he's pretty, as the Colonel said, Brandy. But Brandy's known to surround herself with pretty boys, especially when she goes out of town for conferences and such.
I seen the pictures, Devil. I seen the pictures.
Well, anyway, her
pictures are proof, and there are none. There is none.
Blanca's husband was so pissed off at Rudolph Valentino that he had trumped up charges against him for sodomy, and they actually put him in jail for a few days before those charges were dropped. Rudolph was devastated by these allegations and the charges. He feared that the allegations of homosexuality would damage his budding career and his reputation as a ladies' man.
Well, and sodomy can go anything from oral sex to.
Well, let's talk
normal
about that, Colonel,
hummer.
Because I think when I think of sodomy, I think of the dirty flower.
Well, that could
be
part of it, but in a more extreme versions, they consider just the regular, just your garden variety hummer to be a sodomy, Timmy.
What do you consider sodomy, Brandy?
What
How
the
would
fuck
you
did you
it?
Just say? Garden variety what?
Hummer, Devil. Garden variety hummer.
He's speaking of oral sex, Brandy.
You know why do you know why they...
Something you know nothing about.
Do you know why they call it a hummer, Brandy? Because when they're trying to talk, they're all like... That's why they call it a hummer.
Okay.
That's so, Brandy, what's your thought? Stupid factoid.
Mm-hmm. What? How would you define? See, that's another fact that you would never get on all.
Yeah, you're not going to get that on Ben Show.
No, you're not going to get that.
You know, there's
on
a reason for that, right?
Brandy, what's your thoughts on sodomy? You know, we saw Erica Kelly in Chicago as well.
And I love that you just associated those two things.
Did you say
no? I'm not associating it.
Yeah,
but
you just
we invited. Did you talk to her about coming to DweebCon and doing our doing a live show?
I talked to her about coming to DweebCon.
You were drunk. I asked you to talk to her and see if she would do a live show with us.
No, you were there. Is your talker broke?
I had other things I had to do.
Does he have to do everything?
He's busy.
Timmy was in Chicago to help promote the show, and not only that, to help promote our entire nation to a lovely foreign person. He had a person from Europe. He was trying to make her love America.
I was shown in Chicago to the lovely Leanne, and we went to a baseball game. We went to see Hamilton. We went to top of the Sears Tower. That Colonel, I knew you would have definitely been there had you been in town.
I would have probably just climbed the side of it. To me, I wouldn't have wasted my time.
Just like
on
Spider-Man.
That
All right, I don't know where I'm at, but let's go and move on.
Shocking.
We were at sodomy.
So not
devil.
Long after the, not long after the trial, Blanca shot her husband to death over custody of their son, and Valentino, unwilling to stick around for another round of testimony and unfavorable press, because he kind of got burnt on the whole press thing, with them claiming he was gay. He fled to the West Coast. Brady fled to the West Coast. He joined a national dance production, but that production folded in Utah. So he was stuck out there with your people, Brandy.
Yes.
In Utah. But the young performer then made his way to San Francisco by foot. He walked to San Francisco from Utah. That's a long way, Colonel.
That's a long walk.
It is.
But he had to...
I'm sure he didn't feel like dancing once he got there, but that's exactly what he did. When he got to San Francisco, he resumed his dancing career. And in 1917, Rudolph Valentino set his sights on Hollywood, California.
Hollywood.
In Hollywood, Valentino began to get small parts in films. Most of these, as the Colonel pointed out, were silent films. He built a clientele of older, wealthy women who would pay for dance instructions, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So charming was the young Italian that he would often show up at the movie auditions driving fancy new cars that his clients had let him borrow. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Hey, they let him borrow it. There's nothing wrong with that.
He sounds like a man whore to me, Timmy.
Oh, he's a gigolo for sure. Yeah. For show.
Because, Colonel, let's be honest. Women want the wang, and they'll do anything to get the wang, Brandy.
No, we don't
money is
do
no object.
Get the wang.
Money is no object when it comes to the wang, Brandy.
We just have to show up.
Not for this one. Not for the Colonel Golden Wang. It don't come cheap.
Fortunately, the line for that is very short.
They did a Bond movie.
Doesn't that
about
sound like a?
They did a Bond movie.
Doesn't that sound like a? What was that movie with the? Where they're trying to find the golden
child.
No, where the candy bar Willy Wonka.
Oh, Willy Wonka.
Yeah,
yeah.
The golden
his golden way.
No, they actually did a. They were going to do a Bond movie. They wouldn't let it. It was a Goldwanger, Timmy, instead of Goldfinger. It was Goldwanger.
Goldwanger. Well, Brandy.
Jesus.
Let me tell you what happens next.
Oh, tell me.
Okay. So in 1917, when the United States entered World War I, Rudolph tried to enlist, but he was rejected due to his citizenship status. Remember, he never became a naturalized citizen. He then tried to get into the Canadian Air Force to fly and fight in France, but was again rejected because he wasn't a citizen of Canada either. Of course, Shirley Strap is a citizen of Canada, and we want to say hi to Shirley. At first, in Hollywood, Valentino only landed bit parts, often playing the bad guy. He hated these parts, and he disliked being stereotyped as an immigrant gangster. So things hasn't changed really much.
No.
You know, they're brown, they're bad. That's the way it was. In 1919, just before the rise of his career, Valentino impulsively married actress Jean Acker, who was involved with popular actresses Grace Darman and Ala Nimosa or something. I don't know what that's about.
Nazimova.
Sounds like something you put on your skin.
She was a hunchback, right? I believe. Quasimodo?
I don't think. Jesus.
Jean Acker became involved with Rudolph in part to remove herself from the lesbian triangle. Have you ever been part of a lesbian triangle, Brandy?
No.
Or are you strictly a womano amano? Womano amano. Womano. Two women. You just like you're monogamous with your lesbian softball friends.
I'm monogamous with my husband. But thank you.
I mean, before that.
No, we're talking about in your college days,
softball.
You were drinking all the time. Well, I know that hasn't changed much. But when you were playing softball.
No, I'm still straight.
Okay, so Jean Acker, she was sleeping with these other two women. There was this love triangle, and she got married to get away from it. But she quickly regretted it because, you know, even though Rudolph was somewhat feminine, he did not have the vagina, Brandy.
He did not. He did not know his way around like another woman would to me.
Well, you know they say that, but I'm not sure that's true, Colonel.
I'm not really.
I mean, you know the female anatomy pretty well. You've drawn sketches before and posted them, and you seem to have a intimate knowledge of the female anatomy. Wouldn't you agree?
No.
Well, I like to think, Timmy, I'm basically...
I would not agree.
I'm the Lewis and Clark of the female anatomy, Timmy.
He would like to think that, but it's not. That's not it.
I'm the Christopher Columbus of the female anatomy.
You meant to go somewhere else and ended up there?
No, that happens sometimes.
Yeah. That happens. Well, killed all the people that were already there.
That's right. Ruined it.
Just settled in.
Destroyed everything in my path. That's
right.
Perfect.
So on their wedding night, did you bring measles and gonorrhea?
Yeah, I did. It was the horses that brought the gonorrhea.
I'm sure.
On their wedding night, Jean Acker locked Rudolph out of their room for on their wedding night. So that's like that song, Brandy, "Band of Gold." You're familiar
with like
that.
It is like that.
Can you sing a little Forest Girl, "Band of Gold"?
I don't know that one, Timmy.
Okay, well, you're no help.
I know "Heart of Gold."
Since you've been gone, all that's left is a band of gold. You don't know that song?
Since you've been gone, all that's left is a band of gold. All that's left is the dreams I hold. And you say, that's all I know.
Yeah, that's pretty, Colonel.
Thank you.
You got a voice on you.
Well, I've been told that before.
The couple separated soon after their wedding, and the marriage was never consummated. Brandy, that means they never had sex.
Yeah.
Thanks for that clarification.
The couple remained legally married until 1921, when Jean Acker finally sued Rudolph for divorce, citing desertion. Well, it sounds like if she's locking him out of her bedroom, that would be desertion, but... The divorce was granted, she received alimony. That's fucked up. I mean, she married him on false pretenses, Brandy.
Did she? Because she may have told him.
She liked the vagina, mm-hmm. and she shouldn't get alimony. I'm okay with him getting divorced, but she shouldn't get alimony.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she left him holding the bag. Yeah. He's holding the bag, Brandy.
He's holding his own bag because she's not doing it.
She and Valentino eventually renewed their friendship, though, and remained friends until his death.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Meanwhile, Rudolph's acting career began to take off. And it may be that it was an advantage to him as well, because then she's kind of his beard, right? Although right. He claimed he was never gay. I mean, he claimed that he was always claimed to be heterosexual. But, you know, of course, back in the day, that would be something that was really...
It was not nearly as accepted. It was hard to be a... But even you get up to Rock Hudson days, to me. I mean, he was a sex star, and he couldn't be coming out as
gay.
Yeah,
he had to live in the closet, right?
Yeah.
And that was, up until the 70s or something.
Yeah.
Rudolph, maybe 80s. Rudolph Valentino's big break came when he signed with Metro Studios, was cast to play the lead role in the 1921 box office smash, Brandy. And now I know you've seen it on Netflix, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Your thoughts on that, Brandy, if at all?
Well,
did you watch the movie? Your thoughts?
I've never seen the movie. I've never seen it. I probably won't, so I have nothing to add to this conversation about this movie.
Could you educate yourself on cultural events so you can maybe chime in?
Well, especially,
here once in a while?
I mean, we don't expect you to know everything, Brandon.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
But when we're doing a podcast, and you got the script like 2 weeks ago, so you knew we were going to go.
Wait a minute. But let's hone in on the fact that I had the script. Now, who sent us the text message going, "Yeah, I don't have it. I don't have the script."
Well,
I know I got it 8 times.
I'm sure the colonel was well prepared.
Well, I had read the script at a place of employment,
and I'm sure you reviewed the this movie.
I watched the movie, Timmy, just so I would know. Yeah, it's about four guys.
That's what being professional is all about.
It's about four horses,
Brandy.
Four guys, four horses, pitchforks, flames, the devil,
Apocalypse.
All kinds of things. Yeah.
I think he wore a cape in it, Brandy. He wore a lot of capes.
He wore some masks.
Yeah.
He was like,
if we've learned
Zorro.
Anything from The Incredibles, superheroes should never wear a cape.
They get tangled up in equipment.
That's exactly right.
The film was released in 1921 and became a commercial and critical success, much like this podcast, Colonel.
Much like, you know, speaking of capes, and this is just for our younger listeners, if you're a younger listener out there. Well,
can you not just say something?
Then your parents aren't really taking good care of you, but just know that. Capes don't help you fly. They don't help you
fly. Have you tested that out, Colonel?
You had to learn that the hard way, didn't you?
When I was about 4 years old, Timmy, I tied a towel around my neck, and I climbed to top of the swing set, Timmy. And I leaped off the top of the swing set, and I hit the ground at full speed, Timmy. Hit the ground at full speed.
So you did not fly at any point in time?
Well, I can't say the cape didn't help, because it's possible that I could have broken my whole arm instead of my wrist. You know, it's possible I could have done further damage without the cape. But, yeah, I did break my wrist doing that. And I do not believe the cape broke my fall. Now, maybe I needed to get up higher, you know, for the cape to take effect. Because it was only probably about 10 feet, yeah. But I'm just telling the little kids out there, if you're listening.
Because we have some capes. We have some listeners that are under 5 years old, or at least maturity level under five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have a podcaster that's maturity level under five. So,
well, actually, here's a review we just got from one of those.
Perfect.
Brandy.
What's it say, Colonel?
It says, Tim and Chuck seem very nice. I would like to be friends with them. Brandy makes me cry.
Was that written by Noah?
Yeah, I believe it was. I believe he just got his phone back, Devil. You might want to go check on that.
I don't know why you take the boy's phone away. That seems
harsh.
Abusive to
me. Yeah.
It's a phone in name only. Like, it doesn't get calls. He can't get texts, nothing. I mean, it's basically just a small little tablet. But no, he can't have it back right now.
He's got internet access.
Well, yes, he does, but not anymore.
He's probably got a Bitcoin account somewhere that you don't even know about.
He probably does. I'm pretty sure he's got a subscription on Pornhub.
You think he's in there playing with his Friday the 13th game. He's in there checking his stocks and everything else. Checking to see what his portfolio looks like, yeah.
Probably.
It was one of the first films, this movie, to make $1 million at the box office. And remains this day the sixth highest grossing silent film ever. Well, I don't guess they're making many silent films anymore.
Did you see the movie The Artist, Timmy?
No.
It won an Oscar. It didn't even have any words in it. How in the hell do you win an Oscar when you ain't got no... And how do you get a even nominated for best screenplay? There ain't no goddamn words in the thing.
There's no narrative.
In 445 blank pieces of paper and say, here's a screenplay for it? It's ridiculous.
Brandy, we raise issues that affect society on this podcast.
Right.
All right, Brandy, tell us about what happens next in the career of young Rudolph.
God, I'd love to.
Valentino.
I'm your dancer. Dancer for money. Do what you
What happened, Brandy?
You want me to do.
So overnight, Valentino became a household name with women across the United States swooning for the Latin lover.
Swooning.
Despite making him a star, Metro Studio refused to pay him more than $350 a week that they had originally signed him for.
Those sons of bitches.
Right. After making a couple more commercially successful films, Rudolph refused to renew his contract with Metro and went on to seek more financially rewarding roles. After quitting Metro, Valentino took up with Famous Players, the forerunner of the present-day Paramount Pictures. Studio founder Jesse Lasky intended to capitalize on the star power of Valentino and cast him in a role that solidified his reputation as the Latin lover.
Latin lover.
In The Sheik, Rudolph Valentino played the starring role of Sheik Ahmed bin Hassan. The film was a major success and defined not only his career, but his image and legacy. Rudolph was now working for a studio that knew how to promote and pay its stars.
He's going to get paid.
Now a major star, Rudolph desired to take some time off from acting and focus on his personal life. In 1921, Rudolph met Natasha Rambova, an American silent film costume and set designer and art director with the studio. The couple soon fell in love and married. However, there was a problem. Rudolph was still legally married to Jean Acker.
That's a problem.
Rudolph and... Natasha? I said Natasha, but I guess it's Natasha. Had married on May 13th, 1922 in Mexico, which resulted in Rudolph's arrest for bigamy since he had not been divorced for a full year, as required by California law at the time. Several days passed, and his studio, at the time Famous Players Studio, refused to post bail. Eventually, a few friends were able to post the cash bail to free Rudolph. The couple waited the required time period and married again on March 14, 1923. His marriage to Nacha was a stormy one. Many of Valentino's friends disliked her and found her very controlling. During his relationship with her, Rudolph lost many friends and business associates. Towards the end of their marriage, Nacha was even banned from his sets by contract.
Damn.
Rudolph Valentina, yeah, I know. How big of a dick do you have to be to get banned from an entire movie set? They divorced in 1925. The end of the marriage was bitter, with Rudolph bequeathing Nacha $1 in his will.
Bequeathing?
He bequeathed her. By now, Valentino was a major star. His face appeared on almost every single movie magazine around the world. The Sheik had grossed over $1 million, but the studio did not share their windfall with Rudolph. Once again, Rudolph sought to renegotiate his contract for more money, but the studio wouldn't budge. So without any other options, Rudy went on strike. He quit acting, or more precisely, he quit making movies for Paramount in 1923. To make ends meet, Rudolph took a gig as a dancing spokesperson for a cosmetics company in 1923 and hosted beauty contests along the way. As he toured around the country to promote the products, Valentino used every opportunity to publicly rail against his superiors at the studio and their commercial greed, galvanizing the rift between them. Despite being at the height of his fame, it would be 2 years before he'd star in another film. He's busy doing dancing commercials.
Well, Timmy, and I think you can understand this point. To me, that, you know, with our show, I think it's pretty much accepted that we pretty much carried a load here.
And, well, you know, it's not about that. It's we're all friends, and, you know, one of, you know, if you got two talented people, that's enough. That's all we need.
Pretty much, it's like having a baseball team, Timmy. If you got two good hitters at the top, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you put a weak hitter between them,
right? I mean, you know,
Nothing personal.
We're kind of Paul McCartney and John Lennon of the group.
Yeah,
she's sort of the Pete Best, but that's okay.
Wow,
it's okay, Brandy.
I'm a national treasure. I just want you to know that I have those words have been written about me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but what nation, though, Brandy, really? I mean, not the United States. I mean, maybe Moldova or someplace.
That's fine.
One of the stands, maybe.
In addition to his trouble with the studio, Rudolph often was at war with the press. Newspapers in New York and Chicago wrote unflattering articles about his greed and hinted at his homosexuality, a charge that could destroy an actor's career at the time.
Yeah, and a lot of times those articles were written in coordination with the studios who were, you know, trying to get him back.
Rudolph Valentino was a star in an era when traditional modes of masculinity were clung to with an icy grip, and gay bashing was rife. Despite persistent speculation and rumors about his sexuality, along with the notion that his relationship with Gene Acker and Nacha were merely lavender marriages. By all credible accounts, Valentino was straight. You wrote it. I don't know.
Well, it's like a beard, right?
I guess.
Right. But the relentless scrutiny left him feeling constantly insecure about his masculinity. Many male journalists were offended or threatened by Valentino's less mainstream brand of masculinity and decried its undeniable influence on Hollywood and on men in general. One scathing indictment in particular stood out to Valentino. A Chicago Tribune piece by sports writer Frank O'Neill that came to be known as the Pink Powder Puff article, which blamed Valentino for the presence of a powdering station the writer had encountered in a men's bathroom.
They got powdering stations. That's not good.
Valentino wrote to the paper challenging the writer to a boxing match.
See, he was the first metrosexual, Timmy.
Well, and the thing is, the guys were the men in America were threatened by that, and they didn't want to go around wearing capes because, you know, the next thing you know, is we're all wearing capes, girl,
right.
And going to Powder Puff stations.
And you know, if he was gay, Timmy, here's a lesson I've learned from, you know, having a diverse group of friends. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody's gay don't mean you want to challenge him to a boxing match.
No, and that's what this guy finds out.
Yeah.
Right, Brandy?
Yeah. So he challenges him to a boxing match. Valentino reached out to heavyweight champion Jack Dempsey and asked for his help with training. It turned out that Rudolph Valentino was actually pretty fit, and Dempsey told O'Neill, "Valentino's no sissy, believe me. He packs a pretty mean punch."
Yeah, I mean, he's a dancer, right? I mean,
yeah.
So you know he's athletic.
Yeah. Cut the crap, O'Neill told him. I don't buy it. Neither does anyone else. O'Neill then volunteered to take on Valentino in the ring, and the actor quickly agreed to fight him the following afternoon on the roof of the Ambassador Hotel. The next morning, reporters arrived at Valentino's suite, only to see him decked out in an orchid bathing suit and lavender lounging robe.
Well, see,
nice.
It's just reinforces
that. It's kind of poking
that,
the bear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Privately, reporters marveled at Valentino's bulging biceps and wondered what the star would do if he found out the editorial writer was a woman. Valentino and O'Neill met on the roof with reporters and photographers attending, and despite O'Neill's promise that he would not hurt the star, he popped Valentino on the chin with a left.
Well, that kind of, he sucker punched him.
Another guy threw the first punch.
The actor responded by dropping his larger opponent with a left of his own.
That's good. Good for Rudolph.
Yeah. Told you.
Wait a minute. Well, who was a woman?
Yeah, just go on. Go on. You're confused.
Yeah.
You're drunk.
Go you on. Got this all jacked up. Try to.
She's drinking.
Little less
morning.
Baileys in the coffee before we record,
she's
devil.
Been nipping already.
Yeah.
Continue, Brandy.
What editor? Whatever. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. So he drops him. Somewhat stunned, Valentino apologized and helped the actor to his feet. Frank O'Neill got up, nursing a sore jaw, and shook Valentino's hand. O'Neill told reporters, "The next time Jack Dempsey tells me someone is tough, I will believe him." Despite the outcome of the fight, writers would continue to question Rudolph's sexuality. The rumors of his homosexuality continued long after his death. Rudolph and Paramount settled their dispute in early 1925, and he continued to make movies for the studio. In late July, Valentino attended the New York premiere of The Son of the Sheik. The temperature was close to 100 degrees, but the mob of thousands forming around the theater, and as Valentino tried to make his way out of Times Square, they ripped at his clothes.
I hate that. When
you there should sure be laws against
that's
that.
Happened to me twice at DweebCon, Timmy. You know how it is.
Yeah, well, the thing is, women, to me, Kurt, I don't know if you run into this problem, but wherever I go, women, they just want to kiss me right on the mouth.
Yeah. They kiss you, they touch you on the butt.
Yeah, it's not cool, Brandy.
They pull at your hair just to have a piece out of you. It's just not.
All right.
It's not easy being a dweeb, Timmy. It's not easy being a dweeb.
Not easy being on this podcast, Brandy.
He escaped sufficiently intact to read about the melee in the next morning's New York Times review of his film. Chuck?
Yes, ma'am.
Please continue.
Okay.
Please continue.
Okay. Let me see. Well,
now, Colonel, I give you the important part.
Yeah.
You know, me and you, I got the beginning when we're talking.
When you
about
set up the whole thing, when you get the... You set the tone for this, Timmy. You gave us the whole field of background. I mean, it's...
And I set you up for the climax, Colonel.
Right.
Okay, do you have your... Wait a minute. Do you have your script?
I do.
Could you read it?
I did.
Why do you not think he's not prepared?
Yeah.
Buddy? That's
yeah.
What would ever give you any indication that he was never prepared? If you don't
maybe
believe
the text that I get.
Check out some of the reviews.
Yeah, hold on. Let me read one right now.
Uh-huh.
This show, while quite funny, could be improved if one of the hosts was more professional. And by one of the hosts, I mean Brandy. Tim,
that's pretty specific,
and
Brandy.
Chuck are the epitome of professionalism. They seem to be prepared all the time, but Brandy, and now they have in quotation marks, the devil, seems like she has just woke up from a four-day drunk and is showing up to record. So I can only give this podcast 4 stars.
I mean, you really, how can you argue with that, Colonel? I mean,
that's just an objective listener's opinion.
Right. I mean,
that's not me saying
I'm going to go make a bagel.
Yeah. So,
all right, Colonel.
That's what I think of that. I'm going to go make a bagel.
Well,
continue,
Charles.
More important to Valentino, however, was a review said the film was full of desert rough stuff and bully fights and leaves no doubt about his masculinity. The movie was a hit,
doubt.
And Rudolph was once again on top of his agent, on top of the acting world. Okay. In late 1925, Paramount Studio received a letter from the father of a dying 13-year-old girl named Dietra Flame. She's headed for the pole there. The young girl was a big fan of Rudolph's and was, she was dying in a hospital, so hopefully she made it. Well, anyway, the studio wanted Rudolph to visit her.
If she survives, she'll be on the pole.
She'll be on the pole, yeah. Who names their girl Flame? Now, anyway, Ember Flame. The studio wanted Rudolph to go visit her and take a reporter and a photographer. Rudolph agreed to visit the young lady, but he refused to turn it into a publicity stunt. When he arrived at the hospital, Rudolph began to cry at the sight of the young girl, as she reminded him of his sister who had died as a little girl. And in the hospital, Rudolph kneeled by the little girl's bed and gave the young girl a single red rose and told her she was going to recover. He told that he had a vision. I got a vision.
Like
he put the hands on it
like
to me.
Just like his mother.
He put the hands right on
it. Just like
her.
His mother. Remember she had visions?
Yeah. And he said, "You are not going to die at all. You are going to outlive me by many years. But one thing's for sure. If I die before you, you please come and stay by me because I don't want to be alone either. You come and talk to me." Now, the following year, Timmy, in August 1926, Rudolph was in New York to promote his latest film. While staying at the Hotel Ambassador, he began to experience severe stomach pains.
Ooh, the stomach pains.
The hotel doctor examined him. Yeah, could have been.
Maybe he's constipated.
Could have been constipated. Could have been that.
Really? You think he just needed to poop?
Could have been Taco Bell. That's a mother's always.
You know,
that's always
a
mother's go-to.
Problems can be solved, Brandy, when you poop.
Yeah, a mother's go-to for everything is: have you pooped?
Well, yeah. Have you pooped? Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, my show.
Absolutely.
My, I think. See, when I jumped off the swing set with the cape and broke my wrist, you know what my mama said to me?
What did she say?
Walk it off.
Did you poop? It's like poop and Robitussin.
Pooping solves
poop
everything.
Poop and Robitussin will solve everything in
it
this world.
It solves a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It solves a lot.
Well, Rudolph got a second opinion at the hospital when he was diagnosed with appendicitis and gastric ulcers. Surgery was
pooping
performed.
Probably wouldn't have helped that, Brandy.
Yeah. His condition is now known as Valentino syndrome. Perforated ulcers mimicking appendicitis. Mm. Now, he got the surgery, but he developed peritonitis. Now, that's a very ugly disease, devil. Don't look it up.
Yes.
Don't look it up at all. On August 18th, his doctors were pretty optimistic about his prognosis. Prognosis means, devil, what the doctors think are going to happen to your condition. Okay? I know. I didn't want to lose you on that one. The media were told that unless Valentino's condition deteriorated, no updates will be given. However, his condition worsened to me on August 21st. And he was stricken with a severe relapse of pleuritis, which is the linings of your lung. Around your lung, devil, you have a thing called a pleuris. And that can get inflamed, hence the itis, which is the Latin for inflammation.
Well, actually, pleuritis. You have two of them. That's why it's plurals. If you just had one, it'd be singulus.
Singulus, yes. You got two of them.
Yeah.
If you got two lungs. Now, this developed rapidly in his left lung due to his weakened condition. And during the early hours, Rudolph, briefly conscious, and chatted with his doctors about his future, but soon lapsed into a coma, much like the devil did on her second night in Chicago.
An alcoholic-induced coma.
Yes. He died a few days later at the age of 31.
He was very young, Colonel.
Yes. And outside his room was a little girl carrying a dead rose going, na 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 boo boo. So, anyway, an estimated 100,000 people lined the streets of Manhattan to pay respects at his funeral. Suicides of despondent fans were reported. That's why I try to keep myself in good
shape.
That's
Colonel. That's what I'm going to afraid happens when you go, Colonel. I'm just seeing women all over the country jumping off of buildings, Brandy.
Yeah, and with capes on.
Well, with or without capes. Well, are you concerned about that, Brandy, with that some of the dweebs will split their wrist if something happens to the Colonel? No, I guess she's not concerned.
No,
about
I'm
that.
I'm not concerned. About
I think
that
she
at all.
Left. I think she passed out. Otis is done passed out in her chair. So anyway,
you know, she starts drinking like at, you know, 7 in the morning.
I hit on my phone. Will you just zip it? I hit mute. Good Lord.
Hold on. Now, see,
I'm right here.
That's interesting because here's another one that came in. I would love to give this five stars, but I can only give it four. I would give it five if during the podcast, the entire podcast, the devil would hit mute on her phone.
Yes, Brandy, that's a
coincidental.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, anyway,
perfect.
So you got a riot erupting when frenzied fans tried to break in and grab a last glimpse of the screen icon.
See, that's what, Brandy, I think that's going to happen when the Colonel goes.
Two women tried to off themselves right in front of the hospital.
Yeah.
And a woman in London, as well as a man in Paris, was successful in killing themselves while clutching photos of the late movie star.
Now, Colonel, are you going to question the sexuality of the man who...
Oh, no, I'm not going to question that one at all. I'm pretty sure I know that one. There's no question there.
Okay.
Now, after the funeral...
He was sort of the Ricky Martin of his day,
Is Ricky Martin... Did Ricky Martin come out and finally say he was...
Yes.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in those Puerto Rico... You know, the protest in Puerto Rico, he's involved.
Oh, that is one good-looking guy, man.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Very pretty.
I'll tell you who else is. And George Michael. Say what you want about
He was very pretty.
Yes, he
What'd
was.
What you doing, Colonel?
Well, you know.
He was very pretty.
He was a little too hairy for me, you know, with the beard and stuff.
You're not. You're not. You're not a bear. You're not
exactly.
attracted to bears.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, over the years, Timmy, a woman in black carrying a red rose has come to mourn at Valentino's crypt, usually on the anniversary of his death. Several myths surrounds this woman, though it seems the first woman in black was actually Dietra Flame, the young woman Rudolph had visited at the hospital a year before. She survived, Timmy.
Oh, wow. So
Dietra Flame survived.
And she was the original lady in black that
became a famous. I'm sure she became a famous stripper with that name. And when Dietra Flame died in 1984, other women in black started appearing at Valentino's crypt each year on August 23rd.
On his birthday, right?
Yes.
Or on his death.
And today, the tradition is continued by motion picture historian Carrie Bible.
Oh, your thoughts on that, Brandy, about the lady in black?
You know, I just don't have that much dedication to anything. I don't understand, like, every year, but whatever.
Well, I'm sure if the Colonel, if something would ever happen to the Colonel, there would be a lot of women in mourning.
You know, with this one, if something happened to Dave, you'd be lucky to get out to just go throw a daisy on there every once in a while. Yeah.
My poor husband, leave him out of it.
No, that's what I said. Your poor husband, because he's one of the nicest men I've ever. Oh, he's more than a saint. He's more than a saint.
Whatever. He's none of those things. But leave him alone. He's fine. He's well taken care of.
He's a wonderful man.
All right, Brandy, yes, your final thoughts on movie star Rudolph Valentino.
You know, it seems, and this is just seriously for a second, it seems that, you know, some of these movie stars just became shot, you know, gained all their fame and stuff like before their time. So, I mean, if he was a movie star today, you know, he wouldn't have had all of that controversy and everything surrounding him by not being masculine enough or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of a shame. I mean,
he would have made a lot more money
today,
too.
It's sad. I think it's a little sad that, you know, he had to live his life that way, you know, always with that cloud, always trying to prove himself, always trying to, you know, I think that's a shame. I think it's a shame when anybody has to do it. So, you know, a little before his time, it's a shame that he, you know, he died so young, you know, but it's a bit of a tragic life, but, you know, I guess that's just kind of only the good die young, one of those. So we are going to live forever.
Colonel, your final thoughts on the death of Rudolph Valentino?
Well, I didn't think he was all that handsome to begin with, Timmy. He was no Steve McQueen, you know? No Burt Reynolds.
He's got a point, Brandon.
That wasn't going to be...
Steve McQueen.
Rudolph Valentino.
They're different.
He was not going to be doing Smokey and the Bandit.
No.
No.
But they're different. Rudolph Valentino is pretty. Steve McQueen was handsome, but he was rugged.
Much like me, you would say.
No. I wouldn't say that.
I'd consider you ruggedly handsome, Colonel.
Nobody's ever said that. But, you know, Rudolph Valentino was pretty. He's more of a Brad Pitt.
Pretty boy.
He's a pretty boy.
Now, see, that's a lie because you say no one would ever say that, and I got a review right here. It says, I love this show, the ruggedly handsome Colonel and the unbelievably smart. Well, they've seen us on different things. The unbelievably smart Timmy and the amazing research that he does in his great jokes. Don't like the devil.
Well, Brandy, I mean, you know. It's just a random comment. Don't let it bother you, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that might like you for some reason.
Yeah, I know. I'm good.
Don't let it discourage you, Brandy.
I'm not. I'm not.
We would like Brandy to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, Brandy, I don't know why you don't, but if you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
And we've got some new Patreon supporters. That's always good.
Yeah.
They like our show enough. We know that, you know, everyone needs their money, and it just, you know, give a dollar or two. It shows us that you care, and
we appreciate it
greatly.
Yes. So, give a shout-out to Colonel, to the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
Well, we got Jim Seabright and Andrew Scammo and Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Malachi, Brandon McBride, Jennifer Zvoda, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's Mom, Erica Kinney, iRoad, The Comeback Podcast, LK Barr, Reen, Marissa, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker-Smith, the Australian Devil, the Australian Tasmanian Devil, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, also known as Lenick, Clark, and Diane Tobridge. They're just staples of the show, Timmy.
And they will be at
Tweet. They will. I'm looking forward. I look forward to seeing them every year.
I do, too.
Beth Ann Wallens, and who, of course, I look forward to seeing every year, is Michelle Johns. Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, my favorite fake Irish lass, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent. Timmy, did you explain baseball to Leanne real well?
You know, we did. We went to the Cubs game. I think she caught on pretty well.
She thought it was rude that they was making fun of the pitcher when they took him out, huh?
She didn't like that when they started singing "Hit the Road, Jack" when they removed the pitcher.
She thought it was poor sportsmanship.
I think she had a good time.
Oh, good. Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us podcast, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terror, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp. Sounds like Noah might have set the house on fire while the devil was not paying attention. Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Markia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut. Don, we hope you're recovering well. Andrew Happ, Karen Bonds, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, my friend Shelly Garrett, Carol Shelly Elise, Garrett. Kirsten Malachinsky, Adam McWaters. we have the Context and Clarity podcast, Timmy. Paula Kimes, Vantage Podcast, Canadian True Crime, Christy Lee with the best teeth in podcasting, and Canadian True Crime.
She was at the podcast festival in Chicago. It was very lovely.
Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Shereen Nehron, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, roasting her ass off down in Orlando this week, Robin Sherrod, Ruth,
oh my God,
Keith Whitfield,
terribly hot,
Cassie Kitchens, Nikki Johnson, Natasha Burgess.
Yeah, and I think we missed Nick the last couple times we've done that. So sorry, buddy. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Nikki. Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt. Of course, Timmy, the Lady Beverly. Lovely Lady Beverly.
Lovely Lady Beverly.
And we got a combination now. We have Rudy, the Wonder Dog, the most dangerous dog in podcasting, and Beauregard, the smallest dog in podcasting. And the lady we do this whole show for, Timmy, Dottie Scott. I'm sorry there was only one dead body in this one, Dottie. But if the little girl would have done her job and died, we would have had two. But
at least
we only had we had five because we had people committing suicide. So, yeah,
you know,
that was a good body count.
I'm frustrated because I updated this thing. This, and I don't think I got everyone. So if we didn't, because I know Timothy Sloan, he's a more recent Patreon supporter. Thank you, Timothy. And I know I'm leaving, I know Gina. I think I'm leaving off some. So I meant to update this, and I did, but apparently I didn't save it. So if we didn't name you this time, I promise we'll get it on that Monday.
And get a good list of it.
Yeah, we'll get it fixed because I don't want to leave anyone off.
No, we don't, because we appreciate you greatly. We seriously do.
We really do. And we want to make sure everyone gets mentioned because
we appreciate you putting up with the devil.
Yes.
And her nonsense, her drunken foolishness, tomfoolery.
Yeah, because, you know, not all podcast listeners would put up listening to her, Colonel.
No, some of these people on Patreon will want us to give them money back.
Yeah.
Just for the things she says.
But I wonder if we probably could get a lot more if she wasn't on the show.
Yeah. And here's another one. I love this podcast. I wish I could listen to it at work, except for that foul-mouthed devil.
Brandy, you've took some hits for some of these reviews, but, you know, hang in there because I'm sure you have people out there that like you. They're the silent majority, though. I mean, or minority.
Yeah, I'll try and carry on.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's someone out there that likes you, Brandy. Don't worry, don't despair.
There's probably one or two people. I mean,
yeah.
In every crowd, there's a couple eyeballs. It's like the 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed. You know.
Yeah, it's always that fifth.
Who's a goddamn dentist that recommends sugar gum? You know who that guy is? He's a smart guy because he knows sugar gum rots your teeth out. The other dentists are like, why in the fuck do I want them chewing sugarless gum? I want them in here to fill their cavities when they chew the regular gum.
He's got a good point, Randy.
It's all about money. It's all about the dollar, Timmy. It's all about the dollar.
All right. Thank you all for listening.
This is all fascinating.
And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.